In preparation for Rosh Hashanah, we're going to do a piece from Rav Tzvi Meir Silberberg, a tzaddik who lives in Yerushalayim Eir Kodesh. We're going to be discussing the piece outside. Throughout the piece, Rav Tzvi Meir lists six different ways in which we can really take advantage of the holy days of Rosh Hashanah, to use these days to be Mamlech Hashem over us, to appoint Hashem as a king over us. And if we follow in these ways, if we try and improve ourselves in these six different areas, so then in each of these areas, he says that if we could try a little bit harder, if we could improve ourselves a little bit more, so then it'll give us the strength to improve ourselves constantly in these areas throughout the year, right? Because it all starts from Rosh Hashanah. Anybody who's learned from the Sefer before would be familiar with how Rav Tzvi Meir starts off every piece, which is, it's not simple to discuss these things in yanim of improving ourselves in a general, more public setting, because everyone has their own struggles, and everyone's struggling on their own level. But we'll do our best. We'll do our best to take out of it as much as we can for ourselves, everyone on their own level. The first thing he lists that we want to try and work on the actual days of Rosh Hashanah, right? Things that when we're spending time in shul, we're spending time at home, we're spending time with family or friends, things that we could work on. The first thing he says we could work on is tikkun hapeh, is watching the way we use our mouth, right? What are we talking about in Rosh Hashanah? What are the things we're discussing? Rav Nachman himself wrote that it's a person has to be so careful what they speak about on Rosh Hashanah, even holy things. A person has to carefully weigh each word that he uses. So obviously for us, that's a very hard thing, and this is a level that's, you know, seems to be above us. But all of us on our own level, right? For some of us, it will mean being extra careful not to speak Lashon Hara. And for some of us, it might mean to be careful to only be encouraging to people and not chas v'shalom say something that would be discouraging to another person. On Rosh Hashanah, we know that man was created. And the uniqueness about man is that he was given the ability to speak. His neshama, his nefesh, is unique specifically to man in the way that man has the ability to communicate with others. So on Rosh Hashanah, we're commemorating the creation of man, the creation of speech. We obviously want to be extra careful to show that we're purifying such an ability we were given. That we're using it for the tov, we're using it for the good. We know the Jewish people are very connected to words, and they're very connected to speech, they're very connected to a voice, right? HaKol Kol Yaakov, that the koach of the Jewish people, the koach of Yaakov Avinu and his followers, are in their voice, right? And that's why on Rosh Hashanah we blow the shofar, right? And Hashem says we should say before him, Machio Shofro Zichronos, right? That we should be praising him with our mouth. The koch that he gave us, dafka of speech, we should be using. That's the kli we have on Rosh Hashanah to connect to him. And if we use our pen the proper way, we're mekadesh, mezakech, this kli, so then without a doubt we'll have this ability, we'll have chizik to strengthen ourselves in this regard throughout the entire year. Okay, the second thing we could work on, Rav Tzvi Meir says, on the holy days of Rosh Hashanah is Shmir Seinayim, and really the greater realm of Kedusha. Right? Shmir Seinayim, watching what we're looking at. Are we seeing things that are appropriate? Are we making sure our eyes are only focused on holy things and not things that they shouldn't be focused on? And he says one of the reasons that specifically on Rosh Hashanah we're working on this inyan is because this is the day Yosef HaTzadik came out of jail. And we know Yosef HaTzadik was the prototypical tzaddik when it came to this regard of Kedusha, right, of guarding one's personal holiness, of looking at the appropriate things, of putting himself in the proper situations. Yosef HaTzadik is, that's dafka why he's called the tzaddik. So just like Yosef HaTzadik left jail on Rosh Hashanah, so too, it's an opportunity for every single person to leave the jail of Tumah, leave the jail of being stuck in a place that's not the ultimate place they could be at. It's not the ultimate them they could be. Every person has the opportunity to elevate themselves, everyone on their own level. Everyone could always be pure. Everyone could always purify themselves another level and another level. And he says it's hinted during the pasuk we talk about by Rosh Hashanah, Tiku Bechora Shofar Bekaseh Liyom Chagenu. But it understands it a different way. What does that mean, Bekaseh? It means, he says, right, Bekisui. It's something that has been hidden from us throughout the year. The ability for a person to strengthen himself, it might have been hidden from them throughout the year. They might have been stuck in this taiva, stuck in this struggle. But on Rosh Hashanah, so the opportunity to to use the shofar. Shofar could also mean shapir. We know Yosef Atzadik was referred to as Shufra de Yosef, right? The appearance of Yosef, it was the same as the appearance of Yaakov Vino. Shufra de Yaakov was the same as the Shufra de Yosef. The same appearance, the same beauty. Same way, every single Jewish person has opportunity in Rosh Hashanah to use the shofar, to be meshapir themselves, to look more beautiful. To look more beautiful, meaning be more of who we're supposed to be. Not be involved in things that bring us down. Yosef HaTzadik had such a great chin, he had such a great beauty, because he was so careful in the anyanim of Kedusha. So his neshama was shining outwards, it was shining on his externals. So too, when we're focused on the panimius, when we're focused on the insides, and we're not getting stuck in the chitzonius, we're not getting stuck in looking on the outside of things, in the chitzonius, and seeing things in a way of externals, so too, we'll meet our most beautiful self. We'll meet who we're truly able to be, what we're truly able to come in a much more powerful way. As Rav Svi Meir puts it, in Rosh Hashanah, it's like we're given a new garment. We're given a new gift, right? A person who gets a new shirt, right? They buy a new suit for Rosh Hashanah. You should be very careful with it, right? You're not going to just, if it's raining outside, walk outside without a rain jacket on the first day you have the suit. Very often, as time goes on, it's true, we become more lenient. We're not as careful, but especially in the beginning, it's something we want to be so careful about. So he says, Dafka on Rosh Hashanah, and it's something we always have to be careful about. But on Rosh Hashanah, right? We're given a new mouth. We're given new eyes. We have to be so careful, right, to be speaking the proper way, to be looking the proper way. And B'zad Hashem, that should cause us throughout the year to have the ability to use these tools that Hashem gave us in the proper way. The third and fourth thing we're going to discuss from Rosh Svi Meir is Inyanam of Binyam L'Chaver, right? Ideas that we have to work on, concepts that apply between man and his fellow man. The third thing is not to be makbid on our kavod, right? Not to be overly zealous about our own honor. If someone doesn't show us the proper respect that we feel like we deserve, so on Rosh Hashanah we have to try and make an extra effort to not call them out on it, to not get angry about it, to not be disappointed about it. Today is not about my honor. Rosh Hashanah is not about my honor. It's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor. There's a story he brings from the Chozo of Lublin, where the Chozo wants to gather together some Talmidim, wants to gather together some people to make a Suda. And during the Suda, he said there's going to be some very holy things taking place. He was going to be able to accomplish a lot in the world of Ruchnius. So he asked that everyone show up on time, everyone come early, actually, to make sure that they could accomplish what he would like to accomplish. So he gets there, and the Chozo gets there, and no one's there. Not only is no one there, but everyone comes, pretty late. One guy comes a half hour late, another guy comes an hour late, somebody comes 2 hours late. And it's a great opportunity for the Chozo to become upset at them, right? What are you doing? We have the opportunity to connect to Hashem in such a way. How could you not come on time? I just asked you. It's the great Chozo of Lublin. What does the Chozo do? He doesn't get upset. But instead he says that the same God that I was trying to bring nachas to, by whatever I was going to accomplish in the spiritual world, is the same God that doesn't want me to be makbid on my kavod. And by not getting upset at another person, by not making them feel bad, and by not being overly makbid on my kavod, I'm also bringing nachas to Hashem. So even in the realm of spirituality, we have to be very careful that we're not overly demanding of our own honor. It's a beautiful thing. He says that, we eat special simanim on Rosh Hashanah night, that we should have a sweet year. The classic one, apple and honey. It should be a sweet year. It should be a good year. He says, you know what the best siman is for a good year? A sweet year? He said, if you want to have a sweet year, the best thing we could do is be sweet. Is be nice to another person. Is to greet them b'sefer panim yafos. What greater way is there to be sweet? To eat honey? Eating honey is nice. It's a nice idea. The greatest way to ensure a sweet year is to be sweet to another person. The fourth way we can try and come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Rosh Hashanah is to try and judge other people favorably. Right? It's a known idea that when we judge other people favorably, so Hashem will judge us favorably. So there's a piece in Likutei Moran, Torah Kuf Yud Gimel, where Rabbi Nachman quotes from his grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov, that before there's a decree in heaven, or let's say somebody does something wrong. So before the person is actually punished for doing something wrong, right, they ask that person, the Baal Shem Tov teaches, they come up to that very person who committed the sin, and they ask him, what do you think the ruling should be on this sin that you committed? Right, but it teaches it obviously can't be that straightforward, because I don't know about you or me, but I've never been asked what my punishment should be in Shemayim. So the Baal Shem Tov teaches that what does that mean? What it means is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, will represent our own sin in another person. Right, the same sin that we committed, we'll see another person commit. and the way in which we judge that person, so that's the way they'll judge us in Shemayim. And he brings the story of David HaMelech and Natan HaNavi there. And what happens there is, right, it's after David took Bathsheba as a wife. So Natan HaNavi goes to David HaMelech. And he paints the following story to him. He pretends it's real, and he says, to David HaMelech, he says, listen, there's these two people in the city, and one of them is a very wealthy man, and he has a lot of cattle. And he wanted to serve one of his guests, right? So instead of taking from his own cattle, he went to a poor man who only has one sheep. And he took that one sheep, and he slaughtered it, and he served it to his guest. What should be done to this rich man? He took the poor man's only possession. And he has... Why did the rich man have to do that? He has so many of his own sheep. So David HaMelech decided what the ruling should be. And that very ruling happened to David HaMelech, right? Because what Natan HaNavi was saying is this is what David had done. Obviously, on our levels, we totally can understand what's going on here. Don't understand what's going on with Natan. We obviously don't understand what happened with David and Bathsheba on our own level. It's a very complicated story. But the point is that before a Gezar Din is passed, before a decree is passed in heaven, we're actually asked in a disguised way what we feel like the ruling should be. So when we judge another person favorably, we're literally causing for ourselves to be judged favorably. And if we're just being honest with ourselves, so we know that we have shortcomings and we struggle and we make mistakes. So we have to try and understand that that's the same by everybody. Everybody has struggles. Everybody has their own story and their own background. Like Reb Tzimachlis pointed out, you don't just walk up to a book and open up page 200 and you see something about the main character and ask, well, why is he doing that? Why is he taking that thing from the supermarket without asking them? You don't do that, right? You see there's a whole book. There's a whole story we don't know about. Same too with people's lives. We're walking in at page 200. Even if we think we know somebody, we haven't gone through the same experiences. We don't have the same relationship as they do with whether it's religion or their family. So it's very important that we understand that we really have to try our best not to judge other people. And that's true on a consistent basis, but it's especially true on the days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And it's hard. It's hard to not fall into that trap, right? You're in shul and somebody is davening, you feel like they're davening too loud, or davening too quietly, or they bump into you, or they're not watching his kids, or they came out. How could this person come so late to shul on Rosh Hashanah? How could they leave early? How could they, you know, fill in the blank? It's very easy to get caught in one of these traps, and we have to try extra hard to not, right, to not judge another person. And, obviously by all of these four things we've discussed so far, things that we're going to try and work on in Rosh Hashanah, so these are not easy things, and these aren't things we're going to be able to perfect in a day or 2 days or in a year or in 2 years. These are things that are lifetime avodas. For everybody who's working on these things, they understand that this is something that we could continue to work on and continue to better ourselves at, but it's difficult, and it takes time. So the goal is to do better than we've been doing, right? To try a little bit harder, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu values that effort so much. Every single effort we put in to try and be better, to try and judge people less, try and look at the right things, right? To try and speak the right way, to try and, you know, just deal with other people in the appropriate way. Every single little effort we make in any of these regards, so it creates an amazing kli, an amazing vessel to receive bracha from Hashem. And obviously, if we slip up, we have to understand we're human beings. Even on Rosh Hashanah, we're human beings. And we have to continue trying harder. And we have to get back up and do our best in the future. The fifth area which we could try and work on in Rosh Hashanah, right, is to try and be mechaveh, to try and have the kavanah that everything we do should be l'shem shamayim. Right, obviously, the purpose of our life is l'kadesh atzmeinu, right, just to purify ourselves in everything. Not just in the mitzvahs, to purify ourselves to doing mitzvahs, but even the things that are permitted to us. Right, when a person goes to sleep, when a person eats, when a person's relaxing, to also be serving Hashem in those regards, right? So that's extremely important in our everyday life, but especially on Rosh Hashanah. A true slave of the king, right, isn't somebody who does anything for himself. Even the things that seem to be, you know, pleasurable to the slave are done only so he could serve the king in a better way. So on a day when we're anointing the king, a day of Rosh Hashanah, when we're saying, Hashem, you are the king over us. We accept you as our king. We are your slave. We're here to serve you. That's the purpose of our lives. We have to make sure that that's accurate. We have to make sure that we're actually living that. We have to do our best, and it's very difficult, but to do our best before we take in, you know, a person goes to sleep, before we go to the Suda, right? Before we, you know, a person has dessert, that we have the mindset of, okay, this should only be putting me in a better place just so I have the ability to serve Hashem in a stronger way. And we'll end with Eitzah number 6. The sixth thing we could try and work on in Rosh Hashanah is to treat every mitzvah like it's our first mitzvah of the year. When we go to Daven Ma'ariv on Rosh Hashanah night, the first tefillah of the year, we have the opportunity to say, this is for now and how I'm going to daven. This is for now and how I'm going to connect to Hashem. Regardless of how we've prayed in the past, there's a brand new opportunity. The first kiddush when we go home. What an unbelievable opportunity. The first kiddush of the year. Of the first meal. To eat in a holy way. To eat in a proper way. To be discussing things at the table that should be discussed at a yontif table. Right? To have the first benching, the first birchat hamazon of the year. Just to follow that this should be the common theme of Rosh Hashanah. Of that. This is the first opportunity. The second day, it's the second day to do this. With a freshness. We shouldn't be bogged down or be thinking about how we served Hashem in the past. That should not determine how we're going to serve Hashem in the future. We have a brand new opportunity to serve Hashem in the most amazing way. We have to try and take advantage of it. We have to try and have this mindset. Be aware, be present with the fact that this is an amazing opportunity to restart. The first Kriya Shema Lamita. What an amazing opportunity to connect to Hashem. Even if a person never said Kriyat Shema Lamita before, this is the first day of the year a person has an opportunity to fulfill every single day this year the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema Lamita. If we can have this as Chadshas and Rosh Hashanah, right, that every time we're involved in this mitzvah the first time for the new year, it'll carry throughout the year, Bezrat Hashem. Hashem should give us the strength that you know, if we look at the opportunities we have in Rosh Hashanah this way. So it should be even the 50th time we have the opportunity to make Kiddush in a year, it should be like, we feel like it's like the first time. We should feel a special newness, a special opportunity to connect to Hashem like we haven't had before. So again, we'll just review quickly over the six ideas, the six things we could try and work on Rosh Hashanah to really take the most out of it, to really be the most present with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and reach the loftiest heights we could. And these six ways that the Tzaddik or Shvi Meir points out, again, this is six specific ways, but of course, we also have to work in tefillah, we have to work on our Torah learning, we have to work on so many other topics, but these are six areas we could focus on. Number one is watching the way we speak and what we're speaking about, right? Rosh Hashanah is all about our peh, the tefillah and the shofar. Number two is Shmir Seinayim, just like Yosef HaTzadik left jail, so too it's our opportunity to leave any prison a person is stuck in, any prison of Tumah, and enter to a place of Tara, of Kedusha for the new year. And the third thing is to be working on not being overly demanding of our own kavod. That if someone doesn't honor us in the way we would typically like, that we should try our best to let it go. To try our best, it's a hard thing, but to work a little bit harder to try and look past it and realize that it's Hashem's honor that's the ikkar. It's Hashem's honor that's the main thing, especially today when we're trying to honor the king. The fourth thing is to judge our friends favorably. Like we said, judge every single person in a favorable way because it's the right thing to do. And in addition to that, we should know that when we do that, it also has tremendous benefits for ourselves. The fifth thing, right, is to try and be mechavin that all of our actions should be l'shem shemayim. Whatever we're doing throughout Rosh Hashanah, whether it's when we're in shul, whether we're walking to shul, or whether we're eating, or whether we're spending time with family or friends, or whatever we're doing, we should have the mindset and try and preempt whatever we're going to do with the mindset of, I'm doing this, and I should be doing this, and Hashem help me do this only for the sake of becoming close to Hashem and bringing His light out in this world. And the sixth thing, and the last thing is, that we have to try to do our best to have the mindset that every opportunity I have at a first or even a second, the second day of the Yom Tov, to connect to Hashem in this new year, the first Kiddush, the first opportunity we have to do a chesed for another person. All these opportunities, we have to try and value them. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll have an amazing Rosh Hashanah, and we'll see a year of great success for the Jewish people, great health for the Jewish people. And the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Bezrat Hashem, Bekarov.